This is the Let's Go Win podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Let's Go Win. I'm excited because this gentleman has a lot to offer. Chris Salem is an executive coach, corporate trainer, and professional speaker who mentors C-suite business leaders, entrepreneurs, and sales professionals to build and protect their brands by raising their level of influence as trusted advisors to maximize their results. He also works with companies to create an interdependent work environment and thriving culture through a growth mindset foundation, effective communication, transparent leadership, and higher engagement. His book, Master Your Inner Critic, Resolve the Root Cause, Create Prosperity, went international bestseller in 2016. He also co-authored the recent edition to Mastering the Art of Success with Jack Canfield. His weekly radio show, Sustainable Success, is part of the Voice America Influencers channel. Chris, you have been busy, brother. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been, I'll tell you, busy but productive last 6 months, no doubt about it. With this whole pandemic and everything, it's been a lot of good things. So I'm always an optimist and always looking at the bright side and what we can do, what we can control during these times and maximize it.
You know, I love that because so often people just see the negative, but your narrative is different. You're like, look, these last 6 months have been incredibly productive. Things are going well. Tell me about that, because you talk about a growth mindset foundation, and clearly that's what you're applying here. But tell me more about just that idea and how you tend to look at the world in a different lens than so many typically do.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'll do, James, I'll first explain the opposite so people can get a better clarification what the growth mindset is. So again, most people operate from what we call a fixed mindset. That means that we're operating in the past and the future where fear resides. So we are fear-based. We make decisions based upon triggering events that produce fear. Now, what can that fear do? Well, that fear can then trigger something that goes back to your past tied to a limiting belief. That limited belief was established in your child development years. That had an impact on your level of confidence and self-esteem. So when that gets projected into the future, it creates a level of anxiety that can create stress in the body. Now, what that's telling your future mindset is that perhaps something that's happening now is going to impact something personal to you or something important, but not in a great way. Yet you're not going to be capable of doing this. I can't take this project on. It's too much for me. Why would they even consider me? Whatever those limiting beliefs that inner critic self-talk, and it convinces you that in that moment that those things are going to happen. So again, we experience that fear-based thinking or that fixed mindset from negative emotions. That can be anger, feeling overwhelmed. It can feel angst. It could feel, you know, that could be a result of procrastination, whether if you're doing nothing or being busy but not productive, shame, guilt, jealousy, envy, or any combination thereof. So again, just recognizing when you feel that way, you feel overwhelmed, you're procrastinating. These are just all byproducts of fear-based thinking, fixed mindset in the past and the future tied to limiting beliefs. We are fixated on the expectation to the outcome that often goes unfulfilled. Instead of embracing the process in the moment, trusting it, embracing what we can control and maximizing and then letting it go. So a growth mindset is just that. It's the opposite. It operates in the present moment. Fear cannot reside or is reduced in the present moment. And when we are present, over time, we have more clarity. When we have more clarity, we have focus. When we have focus, we are more decisive. When we are decisive, we take action. It's also in the growth mindset that over time, we can tap into our subconscious mindset that drives our daily lives, where the fixed mindset also resides. It drives that. We can rewire that. We can erase or, you know, and redo and plant new thought patterns into that mindset, so that we can change the way we do things and how we handle difficult situations rather than avoid them. how we can maximize our strengths and not get caught up in our weaknesses. So, and we can also remove our limiting beliefs that go back to our past. And when we're there, over time, we can then, you know, just our confidence level's higher, our self-esteem is higher, and then that'll affect our communication with ourselves and others. That'll affect our ability to take risks, be decisive, which allows us to grow.
So I just got to ask, brother, because, you know, when you've obviously, I assume you learned this. I don't think you came out of the womb and you're like, man, I know how to be a growth mindset and I know how to Yeah. So talk to me a bit about that process, because to write international bestseller, talking about the inner critic, everyone has it. Everybody's got that inner dialogue or critic, as your book is called. Where did you learn to overcome this?
Well, it all came from personal experience, because everything I'm telling you, I was the direct opposite. I was that fixed mindset. I was fear-based. I lived my life in fight or flight mode every day of my life. So, you know, being a 21-year-old man with major back problems, which I thought were due to lifting weights, it had nothing to do with the physical problem. It was all emotional and mental because of the constant stress I was putting on my body being in that fight or flight mode. I was a codependent, meaning that my behavior and my communication was one of passive and then also aggressive. I was passive aggressive. I was a pleaser and enabler, meaning that if I did something for you, I want validation in return. That would give me this false sense of confidence. It was eluding, right? And then I could be aggressive, meaning that I would demand certain expectations that would, of course, go unfulfilled. And then I would get angry. So I just lived in this cycle of just codependency and dysfunction. And that led to strained relationships, bad behaviors, 12 years of addiction. And again, with that thinking, I could just never find sustainable success. I would have success and only to sabotage it, start over, do it again and again and again. So I had to learn the hard way. And I found a process that allowed me over time to shift from a fixed to a growth mindset, just what I explained earlier when we started off.
Well, without giving away the process, and I'm not sure how much, I haven't had a chance to read the book yet. I'm excited to, but without giving away the process, or maybe you can.
I'll give a few things. That's fine.
Yeah, that'd be great, brother, because I think so many people have to be nodding their head saying, yep, definitely did that. I don't know about the back. I mean, that's remarkable. Your back, literally, you're having that much pain from that. But what is the process? How did you kind of find this formula to allow you to do so many of these great things you're doing now?
I would say, let me just describe what led me to make this shift. I mean, it was call it the divine moment, but the root cause to my limiting beliefs went back to my father, you know, because my father was not around. And when he was emotionally abusive, verbally abusive. And my dad had his own emotional demons, you know, so his own limiting beliefs. Now, as a child, I don't know any of this. I just think that my dad doesn't want to be at my ball games. He doesn't want to come to these things that are important to me. So I was always seeking this validation from other people because I didn't get it from my dad. Now, flash forward, my dad was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 56. This was back in September of 1999. I was roughly around 31 years old at the time, or around that age. And that was the defining moment for me. And, you know, and I remember a day before my dad passed away, I remember him looking over at me. He was pretty much gone at that point. You know, he couldn't talk. His eyes were open, but it was like he wasn't there. But in a way, he was, because he was speaking to me. And I can't explain how I can understand what he was saying to me, because it was not in spoken word. It was just like a message that he was speaking in some other way. And the message I got was, you know, I just want to let you and your brother and your mother know that I love you. I know maybe I didn't show it during, you know, when you were growing up, I just didn't know how to. And if I could do it, if I could have done it differently, I would have. See, my dad couldn't give what he didn't have. So as a result of that, that was like the aha moment. I had two near-death experiences in my 20s. You would have thought that would have been it. No, that was the defining moment. That was the moment that the light bulb went off. And I said, I've been playing the victim my whole life, pointing the finger at everyone else. The world was against me. It's everyone else's fault that my life isn't where I want it to be, or my business. I didn't know what I was going to do to make the turn it around, but that was the first time in my life that I said, I have to take ownership of where my life goes. No matter what cards have been dealt to you, only you and your faith or your higher power, whatever that may be, can change it. Not just your faith, because that's what a lot of people do. Oh, so-and-so is going to make it go away. No, it's a combination. You got to make the first move, and you got to be consistent. So I didn't know what I was going to do, but lo and behold, I did find a process just to kind of keep it short and sweet. I can't talk about the whole process because there'll be too much to talk about here, but there were two cornerstones, two habits that allowed me to get to the root cause of my limiting beliefs, to remove them. And then from that same place to create a success foundation, what I would become and still am to this day, 21, 22 years later. And that was through meditation and journaling. So I also had ADHD, by the way. A lot of people, you know, that knew me before that knew that, but a lot of people that know me after don't know I have ADHD. They're like, there's no way you're organized. You're so focused. How could you have it? But I do. When I was doing meditation, that was the hardest thing I could possibly do because I couldn't sit still for 5 seconds. I had to white knuckle it for like 2 or 3 months until I got into a rhythm. And over time, as I began to tap into my subconscious mindset, I began to resurface things that I did not consciously remember or know that began to reinforce that those limiting beliefs and that strong need for validation and how it impacted my self-esteem, confidence, my communication, that codependency and everything we talked about. And it was from that place, over time, I was able to eradicate it by forgiving my father, who had since had passed. But also I had to, also forgive myself. Now this doesn't happen overnight, but I had a point where I was shaking, I was sweating, I was shaking. I could feel like this releasing out of not only out of my mind, but out of my body. Because it's in your body too. That's why I had those back problems back when I was 21. That was just all a byproduct of those limiting beliefs that manifested itself into stress, fight or flight mode. And with that being said, when I was able to release anything that would trigger anger for me, because that's how I lived my life through anger, it would hit and bounce away. I didn't. So now I was in control of my emotions. It didn't control me. Because we could control our behavior, our communication, our attitude, our action, and our emotions to thoughts. We can't control thoughts, but we can control how we react to them. Once I was able to master meditation and journaling, writing down whatever comes to mind, no intention, it allowed me to look at myself from a third-party perspective to make that shift. And then in conjunction with some other habits and disciplines, I was able to then build a higher level of confidence, self-esteem, more structure, more goal-oriented, and be able to be focused in the moment. And that's how I operate my business, how I operate my life. And it dramatically changed everything. And then it's helped me to impact other lives through my executive coaching, through my corporate training. And then, of course, through my nonprofit, Empowered Fathers in Action, where we help families build interdependent family structures free from limiting beliefs. So there you go. That was the defining moment and just the two cornerstones, meditation, journaling, that made that happen.
Oh, I love it. And this audience hears about meditation and journaling. And I love that you said that. I want to ask, because for 31 years, your family members, perhaps your friends, people that know you, they know you as Chris, being possibly passive aggressive, being angry, having this back pain. My question what I want to really dig out is, as you made this shift, and I just have to imagine people like to put you in that box that Chris is this passive aggressive guy, even though he's doing all these amazing things. Can you talk about that a bit? Because I think people, they hear it and they're like, cool, that's inspiring, but I'm this. And you know what? Cousin Joe just told me I was again. Can you talk about that a bit, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's, you know, when somebody says, you know, that you're this, hey, I mean, again, only you can assess if that is. If somebody's saying it, okay, it's not that you take it verbatim, but you might look back, hey, is my behavior impacting other people in a negative way? And if it is, well, I need to look at it for myself. instead of, you know, resist it. I know I did, because I used to, you know, really tick people off through my passive aggressive behavior, and always thought it was their fault or it was them. They were mad. I didn't do anything, but I did play a role. And the thing is, we do play a role in creating things that happen. I know sometimes tragic things have happened to people, good people. I'm not saying that you wished it upon yourself and that you asked for it. No. But again, certain things that happen is that when you react to it and then go down the negative path with it, then what you're setting yourself up to do is create other similar situations to reinforce it over and over again. That's what I was doing, not realizing it. So I had to change that pattern. And that's where habits and disciplines like meditation and journaling can help you to do that, to get out of the problem into the solution. Does that mean everything in life gets great? No. Matter of fact, you'll probably have more challenges and setbacks, but you'll look at it in a completely different way. You'll embrace them as part of learning and growing to become even more in terms of character and in terms of whatever the life that you're aspiring to, you know, to obtain.
Yeah. So eradicating was a word you used earlier, really getting rid of these self-destructive or self-sabotaging behaviors and patterns. Obviously, mindset is the cornerstone behind what you've created. Tell me why mindset is so important for establishing a successful foundation, and how can people really start implementing it today? So we talked about journaling, we talked about meditation, yeah. But I imagine there's some other things you do on a daily basis to feed that mindset to make sure you never slip back into those old patterns.
Well, here's the thing about from a growth mindset, whether if it's personal or in a business. See, if we are going to grow and get better at something, not to be the best, but to be your best, we have to be transparent and we have to be, authentic and vulnerable that something is not where we want it to be. In order to change, we have to be vulnerable and transparent to, you know, get to the problem so that we can then get into the solution. Anything worth striving for is a process. And when you're able to shift to a growth mindset, you shift your thinking away from the expectation to outcomes in the future, past and future, to be in present. You trust the process in the moment, controlling what you can and what you know, maximizing that, and then allowing that everything else outside of your power to do its thing, because you can't control that. And trusting that will lead to the results you seek. So when we are able to do that, that shifts our the way we feel about ourselves. We move to a higher level of confidence and self-esteem. That then shifts our way of work, how we relate to people. Instead of being pleasers and enablers and codependent, we become more interdependent, being more resourceful and being the example rather than just doing, from empathy and kindness. So we have the ability to relate and understand others versus respond. We shift our way of not telling people how, when, or why to do it, but just sharing from our example and empowering them to draw their own conclusion, what they decide to do with it for themselves. So when we can do that, that's what creates success, both personally and in a business. Why are there some football teams that are better than others? Why are they in the postseason? They don't necessarily have the best talent or all the best players. It's because of the way they think congruently, interdependently, rather than being codependent. It's about we rather than I. But before we can serve we have to serve I to be the example for we. So it's just those ways of things that you do that can change the course of your personal life and your business for good. And people relate to real people, transparent people. It's like I'm sharing here. I'm coming from a place of higher level of confidence than I ever was 22 years ago, but I'm still to this day will share all my weaknesses. I'll share my backstory, and I'm an open book. I got nothing to hide. And that's the thing. That's the beauty. I'm free. I don't have these walls. I don't wear a mask anymore. I used to wear that mask. That mask got really, really heavy, and I couldn't keep my head up anymore. And now the mask is off. It's been off for a long time. So this is the things, Jim, that will lead to personal success and how it can impact a business, regardless of the size of people, being the example, being resourceful, transparent leadership, effective communication, active listening, coming from core values. That's what builds a winning team.
So you mentioned something that I love what you said, but I want to dig in just a little bit. You said we, but in order to serve the we, I have to start with I. Can you talk about that a bit more? Because I understand the concept, I believe, but I really want to make sure, because I coach on this very subject, and I would love to get your take on what that means.
So think about, like, if you're on a plane and they deploy the oxygen mask, right? Everyone's heard that story. Now, most parents would be like, oh, put it on your child first and I'll put it on myself. Well, no, they tell you to put it on you before you put it on your child, because you can't give what you don't have. So again, if your cup isn't filled, what can you possibly really give? You're giving really nothing, because there's nothing there to give, because it's empty. So a lot of people get fooled in thinking, if I just do for people, then that's really helping them. What it's doing is it's keeping people stuck. It's keeping people stagnated in their ways. It's better to be resourceful and be the example than actually do for people. I'm not saying you don't go out and help an elderly person out of their chair if they can't do it. But it's different if the elderly person could write their name and sign a check, but yet you don't allow them to do that, because you're now, again, saying, oh, it's okay, you don't have to, I'll do that. So you're kind of, you're not empowering them to still do things that they're capable of doing. So that's just an example, again, that we have to fill our cups. We have to serve ourselves to be positive and grow, to be more for everyone to do for themselves through our example and our resources.
Take care of yourselves, guys. First, it is all you parents, I hope you hear this. In order to take care of your family, you have to take care of yourself first. It sounds counterintuitive, but I'm telling you, I love that. So one of the things, you work with some pretty high level, C-level execs, you mentor some pretty high business leaders. How do we develop a peak performance mindset? We talked about a couple of the core habits. Is there other things, whether it be a morning routine, or is there something specific that people can really say, you know what, that's unique, or, maybe it's just, this is how Chris's routine looks. I can implement some of those things.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. Again, this isn't a one size fits all, but again, speaking just in general, what most people can experience, it is having a routine, a daily routine. The more consistent that you are, the more focused you're going to be, or more clear you're going to be focused. And meaning that you're going to have more specific, well-defined goals that are broken down to the minute level to execute within your control, letting go of everything else. You are allowing the puzzle pieces to come in at each day, each week, each month, and connecting the dots to lead to the results you seek. Not trying to chase the puzzle pieces you don't know about, or even where you can't find them. And then you get lost in what you already have, because you're focused on what you can't control. A daily routine allows you to do that. So for instance, this doesn't mean that you have to do this, but I get up at 4:15 every morning. I do it because there's no distractions. I make my bed. It allows me to focus on accomplishing a small task. I meditate. I journal. I then go to the gym. Now, I don't go to the gym every day. I go four or five times a week, but I do planks every day. And then I come, I shower, I eat breakfast, I read out of a book, chapter or two out of a book, something relevant to what I'm working on or a client. And then I review my daily goals and start my day. I do that 7 days a week. And I've been doing that for 22 years every day. I haven't missed a day. So it's the consistency. The more consistent you are, the more focused you are on your goals, both in life and in your career or business, the more likely you're going to be more successful, whatever that means to you, because that success means different things to different people. It's again, but I guess if I can sum it up, if you're living a life and having a business on your terms that defines your why and who you are, well, there you go. You can't ask more. Money and wealth and everything else are just a byproduct of that.
So you had this divine moment. I got to go back to your dad for a moment, just because this, you said your why. And I think so many people want to know, what is my why? You hear people say, I'm supposed to be doing something. I have this gift to give. And clearly you're helping influence so many people now. How did you find that why, brother? I mean, so your dad said, I love you, and that's cool. So you start doing these amazing things, but your why is clear. I can hear it in your voice. Yeah. I read it in your bio, but how did you get to that point? Because I think if I'm a listener sitting here going, that's awesome, I want help finding my why.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's not that it just like a switch went off and there you go. No, it's again, trusting the process. Even when I was meditation and journaling, I still had so much confusion in the beginning. I didn't know. I'm like, is this really working? And that's when most people give up. Oh, it didn't happen in a week. Oh, it hasn't happened in a month. It's been 3-4 months. Oh, forget it. I trusted that. I said that I can't go back to where I was, directionless, operating at the, you know, on the seat of my pants. I had to get structure because of my ADHD and because of my anger issues. I had to get structure. I had to, you know, get into a place where I could be consistent, focused on building something that I desire to build in my life. So it was that consistency, trusting the process. And in time, it came to me, that calling. It was that intuition. And then when I put myself into situations that play into those goals and that feeling, it just reinforces that I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be doing this because I can feel it. Even when there's a pushback and there's a challenge, I'm required to be here. I know I'm operating my why. It's not easy. It took me a little while. You just got to trust the process. Just show up every day. Don't show up to be the best. Be your best and trust the things that are outside your control will work for you in time to help you reach that place. But you got to be consistent. You can't just, and that's why some people never find it, because they go right back to the same old fear-based thinking in the past and future with confusion, lack of clarity, and so on.
I hope you guys are hearing this. He didn't say, look, this is cookie cutter approach. You all have to get up at 4:15. The polar opposite. You just have to find your rhythm, be consistent with it. I want to get into, you talk about it pays in your business to be an influencer. What does that mean, brother? What do we glean from that? Because that makes sense to me, but I want to hear how that applies to my business today.
Well, I mean, I like to call influencer like a trusted advisor. You know, people relate to certain things. So one thing about influence that a lot of times people often get confused is they think influence means that you're trying to persuade someone to see your point of view. I'm looking to persuade someone to buy my services, my product, to coach with me in my executive coaching and my mental toughness, peak performance mindset programs. That's how I used to be back in the day when I was in sales. I was good at persuading people, but it's short-lived. I'm not looking to chase people. So no matter if you're in sales or not, the key is that influence is about sharing, not telling. Leading with from example, your story, leading from those core values that represent you. For me, it's transparency, integrity, and honesty. Doesn't mean that you have to have the same values, but similar, we can find some shared values. And when we can put that out there and empower people to draw their own conclusion, that's the magic of influence. Trusted advisors know how to connect and be compelling. We're not looking to be unique first. We're looking to be compelling to our audience, connecting on those shared values. So if I have integrity, honesty, and transparency, somebody that connects with me may be trustworthy, ethical, and like appreciate someone who follows through. But it's not about they relate to me first. It's that they feel I relate to them. It's about them. And now that they connect with me on why I do what I do, they now want to know what you do that possibly could help them. Now what makes you unique is more important. Whereas in the beginning, nobody cares what makes you unique. You haven't given them a reason why. It's the why. And again, what people sometimes have to realize, it's not necessarily what you do. Your why can be completely opposite of your business. And yet it could also be highly effective in growing your business. Some people are going, what? What does that mean? You're telling me that I could grow my business doing, you know, is that like mowing the grass and I'm going to mow the grass and I'm going to grow my business? Well, I'm not literally saying it like that. But meaning that when you really honor those values and you play into things that play to your strengths that might be completely indirect to your business, they will play a part in helping people connect with that why to now know what you do now in the business that you perhaps can help them with, or they can refer people to you. Trusted advisors build their businesses on referrals. They build it on experiences where people make their own decisions to work with you, buy your products, do their part, and have a better experience. And when they have a better experience, they refer people.
So guys, be vulnerable. Put yourself out there. Tell them your story. Don't be ashamed of it. Own it. And that's what I'm really hearing from Chris is I own what I was and what I did. And that was, but that allows people to relate to you. I want to ask you, because we've talked about growth mindset and the question of how do you deal with failure? I'm really curious to get your answer on this, because maybe it's not even failure to you. Maybe it's just part of the process.
It is. I look at failure as part of success. Without failure, we can't experience true success. Again, we can't grow and come out of our comfort zones unless we learn from failure. Now, failure, it doesn't mean that you failed. It only means you fail if you quit. So I look at it as lessons learned, learning experiences, that challenges are necessary to grow, necessary to succeed. And once we do reach a level of success, we don't get caught up and be complacent. We come back out and we keep learning and growing. It's an ever-ending process, meaning that it never ends. There's no final destination. It's an ongoing process. Now, maybe when you leave this planet to go wherever we go, I can't tell you what happens after that. But what I can tell you is in this life that it's an ongoing process. This is where consistency isn't once in a while. It's every day for the rest of your life until you leave your body. And that's the thing that I always advocate. You know, again, I'm not here telling people. I'm just sharing, and you get to draw your own conclusion if that really resonates with you or not.
So I'm curious to hear what really inspires you. So you're getting up, you're showing up as the best version of Chris every single day. What is the inspiration for that, brother? I'm just, because everybody wants to grab onto some of that. They want the same thing.
I would say that, again, getting back to that, you know, we can't give what we don't have. We have to fill our plate. It's, again, serving that inner child that you were always heard. You always mattered. You have the capability of becoming more than you ever imagined. And to be that inner child in the adult form, not literally like a kid, but to, you know, that creativity, that innovation, and be the example. And I do that for my son, who I love dearly, my wife, who I love dearly, my clients, who I love dearly, and people that I just come in contact with. That is the driving force for me. Each and every morning, I wake up and step foot on the ground at 4:15 to start my day. That's it. It's got to be come from within to reflect what goes on the outside that you're looking to make those changes in your life.
The word love is thrown out there several times, you guys, not just about his family. He's talking about his clients. Don't be afraid. Love on your clients. I like that. I like that a lot. You wrote a book and then co-authored with one of the most successful authors of all time. So clearly, I'm guessing you mentioned reading every single day. What are two or three of the most impactful books that really made a profound impact on your life?
Well, God, there's a lot. Jam. I mean, I'll just name a few. I mean, there's probably more, but I'll just name the three. One book that really that was kind of like bypassed a lot of people. Not one of the books that Jack really that a lot of people know him by, but The Power of Focus. You know, it was a book that put out, and I know Jack and Mark Victor Hansen both, and that book really helped me when I was going through this transformation back 20 something years ago, because that book came out in the 90s. And that was played an instrumental role. I would say The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle is a great, great book. And then I like this new book out by James Clear, The Atomic Habits. You know, I really enjoy that. And there's a lot of other books. The Go-Giver, Bob Berg. Bob's a good friend of mine as well. So I'm a reader. So I have a lot of books. So I could go on and on. But I would say that those books really played an instrumental role in more than just reading, and you know that I you know, to this day there's a lot of things I include in my daily life from all of those books. So,
and before I kind of get towards the end here, there's one question, just because I think everyone that decides to go through you use the word transformation, the imposter syndrome, when you're going to write that first book, it has to hit you at some point. Like, well, I'm not sure. Talk about that, because I think if people could hear, it's okay. Everyone feels it at some point. I assume you felt it at some point, maybe writing the first book. I don't know. Maybe I should ask
that. I mean, here's the thing. You know, it's funny. I there was a part of me that could identify with the old me. Yes. But I said to myself, regardless if this book sells 10 copies or sells 100,000 copies, I don't care. If it touches one life, that's all that matters. Because it's just a reflection. I changed my life. And if I could help change one life, then I did my job. And that's kind of how I went into it. Like, I don't know. Since I've been through this, I never got caught up in the star attraction. Like, even when I met guys like Jack and Mark, they were just everyday people like you and I. I didn't look at them like, oh my God, I'm not worthy. I treated them just like, you know, they were humans. And they did the same with me. They're human beings. They have their own faults. They have their own challenges. And but the old me would have been, oh, no doubt about it, caught up in that whole thing and much worse than imposter syndrome. I would have sabotaged everything I did up to that point. So I would say that even when that book came out, I didn't have expectations. I was there to just put it out there and let the chips fall where they may. And if I impacted one life, that I did my job.
Well, you impacted more than one, quite a few, which is awesome. What's on the horizon for you, man? What's coming up in the next few years? What are you really looking to accomplish? And what should people be looking for with Chris Salem?
I would say that, you know, what's very important to me is operating from my values, work-life harmony. You know, again, always finding, you know, the give or take, it's never going to be perfect. You know, my mission is to, you know, create awareness to corporations, to communities, to families about this issue of limiting beliefs and how they impact a lot of the issues we have in our world. And if that we can each take ownership over them, we are capable of doing so much more together to achieve prosperity. So, you know, again, I'm not going to go out of my way and kill myself to do it, but everything within my power that I have, keeping that work-life harmony, I will continue to the day I leave this planet to be the example and hopefully inspire others to do the same and keep doing it that over and over to help change lives, change businesses, change communities, and just change the way we live to know there's a better way than we're doing it now.
Well, you said the word harmony, clearly not balance. So that was very intentional.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I mean, think about balance, right? Balance means that you're like this. That means perfection. Perfection is a codependent trait. When people strive for perfection, they're always going to be getting ready to get ready. There will always be an excuse. There will always be a reason why that I can't do it, because they have to be perfect and it'll never be perfect. It's just progress in motion. It's trusting the process. So harmony is about knowing that there's going to be some bumps in the road, challenges, and there's going to be give or take. And that's what we strive for. It's striving for harmony. And that's why I use that intentionally over balance. And you notice I don't use the word expectation. It's not even part of my vocabulary. I focus on what I can control in the moment, let go of everything else. The results, the goals that I seek through my results are a byproduct of what I do each and every day. That's it.
Well, you clearly trust the process, your own process, and that has come through loud and clear. What should I ask you that I didn't know enough to ask? And I'll leave it at that. The last bit that you want to just give the audience, like, dang it, Jam, you should have asked me this.
Well, you've asked it almost every question, but I'd like to leave everyone with not only a quote, but it's actually a statement that can help really change your life. And it's a statement I like to call, give without expectation, receive without resistance. So what that means is that when we give without expectation, we're not just doing it to please and enable others. We have boundaries. We do it from a place of empathy and kindness. We share through example and be resourceful. Empower people to do it, take that and do it for themselves. But when it comes back from somewhere else, even if you don't even anticipate it, you receive without resistance. That is the law of prosperity. And I see a lot of people could be good at giving, but they do it with expectation, or they give without expectation, being a pleaser and enabler, and they don't know how to receive. They resist, and then they break the flow. And it not only is it disruptive for themselves, but other people that were giving. So if we can all learn how to give without expectation and receive without resistance, we'd probably see a lot more like prosperity, you know, not as this disparity of poor people and somewhere in the middle and rich. There's a ways that we could find some better harmony there from living that way.
Guys, he just spoke a universal truth, and I hope you heard it loud and clear. Receive without resistance. Just thank you. You don't need anything more. That's so good. I love it. Brother, how can our listeners connect with you online?
Thank you so much for having me. They can connect with me at our website at ChristopherSalem.com. Also, our nonprofit at EFAMovement.org. Feel free to reach out to me by email. I'd love to get to know you, Chris at ChristopherSalem.com, or reach out to me on LinkedIn. Great to catch up and learn more about you and why you do what you do.
Guys, we'll link all those in the show notes, but definitely do it. He is bringing a lot of love and just prosperity to the world. Chris, I appreciate you being here, brother, and keep doing so many great things that you have already done and so much more.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you again for the opportunity to be here.
Truly, it is. It is my pleasure. You guys definitely check it out. There's so many good nuggets. I'm already excited to put the description out there for you guys to hear this one. In the meantime, I want you to continue to transcend in life and go to Amazon, the Champions Daily Playbook. It's out there. It's a playbook for you guys to use. It's only 11 pages of reading, and then the rest is just some applicable tools you can use. So until next week, continue to transcend in life. Have a great one. Thank you so much for listening. If this content is delivering value to you, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review us. That helps us build this community, and that is what we are all about. Building this community as big as we can, helping as many people as we can, and deliver as much value as possible. Be sure to head over to letsgowinpodcast.com for information on my coaching courses, and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Let's Go Win 365. Let's go win and transcend in life.
This is the Let's Go Win podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson.